today's episode of The Payoff, we have an important public service announcement from Manscaped.com. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. Just like before, you can get 20% off and free shipping using our promo code PAYOFF at Manscaped.com. So what's changed for the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer? Let's start with Travel Lock. More of us on the go nowadays, and the new on-off switch makes sure that you're only turned on when you want to be. Maybe you don't need that LED spotlight every single time. I love it, especially in the shower. But you can now turn it on and off as needed. And so, plus all those same great features from the previous generation. Now, Tom and I wouldn't be suggesting a product if we didn't endorse it and use it ourselves. We both bought multiple products, and we are proud to firmly be a part of the Manscaped family. And you'll be surprised just how smooth joining us can be. Again, join over 2 million men worldwide, USA, Canada, even our friends in Australia, who trust Manscaped. 20% off free shipping with the code PAYOFF at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence, and as always, use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Yeah, I had a long day today, man. Tough day at the office, but I brought my intensity, my integrity, and my intelligence. See what I did there?
Can I interest you in a glass of milk? Are you okay? Do you need to just a cool beverage to refresh yourself, or maybe a fire hose of milk? Either one would they interest you?
So his podcast with Conrad, I think it was like a ask me anything like Q&A. It was towards the end, I think, of the episode. It was one of the funniest things I have ever heard in my life. It was something about milk, and it was. Yeah. I don't know what he was saying, but it was like he was kind of doing it in character. He's like, I like milk. I like skim milk. I like 2% milk. Conrad, I even drink whole milk. I mean, can you believe that? And I'm not doing it well, but whatever he said, I'm like, I'm like driving into the office and I am dying. It was so funny. But you forget how like – That nerdy, kind of dorky.
Yep.
He's a heel, but he thinks he's a baby face. It's just such a great character. It's like when he was first in training and he's like, I'm a good guy. I'm an Olympic gold medalist. I'm the best at what I do. Like, and Bruce Pritchard's like, yeah, exactly. You're a heel. No one's going to like you. He's like, no, I'm a good guy. I'm the strongest. I'm fat. Like, yeah, keep talking like that. You're a fucking heel.
Watch what happens. Right. Exactly. Which unofficial plug, like his podcast has been pretty good. I know I haven't caught every one. I'm like every other one, but yeah.
But I feel like they're going to run out of stuff to talk about.
Well, and we thought what we said this one, like Jeff Jarrett too, like there's only, you know, but who knows? Like, you know, they could have a whole bunch of material or talk about whatever, like, you know, who knows what it might be, but yeah, it's still good stuff. Absolutely.
Jarrett, I think has more to talk about. He had a longer career. I think some of the like early days of TNA, actually, I would find pretty interesting.
Well, his bouncing around to promotions.
Yeah. Some of the dying days of WCW might be interesting. There's some interesting stuff there. It's just tough for me to like, you know, again, we're not commuting as much as we were. So it's like the podcast can build up and it's just tough for me to be like, I want to hear 2 hours about, you know, Angle and Cena from, you know, some B show.
Yeah.
That I don't remember ever happened. I'm not going to go back and watch. So it's like, Yeah, Angle and Shane. Yeah, I want to hear that. You know, Angle and Brock at WrestleMania. Want to hear that. The Q&As are good. I just think some of the random matches are tough. You know, some of the random TNA shows that Eric Bischoff covers on his, I'll listen to the first 5 or 10 minutes just in case they talk about anything topical, and I just get rid of it. I'm like, you know, and some of these things, it's like when they're covering like an entire pay-per-view. Oh, well, and then, you know,
this, it's tough. Yeah.
And then what were they? Oh, it was a surprisingly good match, actually. Some good action. Like, you know, and you're listening to it on like a podcast, not like it's a watch along. So,
Well, we've got it right. We've got, like you said, we've got some end of like WCW days in this one. We've only got one match. We're going to bring it to you, you know, short and sweet, like, but with all the details that everyone wants to hear, because that's what we do here at The Payoff, plain and simple.
So why are we covering this match?
This one, I think we've just been riding high on Edge lately. I know that that was a lot of it with just kind of his return and everything that was kind of happening. You know, Backlash was just last night, actually. And so, you know, kind of having him involved and stuff like that. And part of this was just, it's Backlash season. And so when I pulled these matches, this was one of the ones that just kind of was looking at it to see kind of, you know, I just looking at the best matches of Backlash. And this is one that was on the list, plain and simple. And so fairly high ranked, which I think is why I included this one. But then also, like I said, just Edge specifically, but both Kurt Angle, like, hey, you know, nothing wrong with talking about it either.
Yeah, I agree. This period of Edge, like, I think there's a lot of Edge stuff out there that I either don't remember or kind of got lost in the shuffle, you know. I'm really excited. I think anything Edge in his singles run, I think there's some really good stuff there that, again, you know, it was an era where a lot was happening. And so it can get lost in the shuffle. So I'm excited to cover this one as well.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, dude. So we are now at Backlash 2002. So we've been doing this Backlash thing for a few years. April 21st, 2002, Kansas City, Kemper Arena, 12,000 in the audience, 400,000 buy rate. We actually already covered the show because of Hollywood Hulk Hogan defeating Triple H.
Yep.
To win the undisputed WWF Championship, following up his epic performance against The Rock at yep. WrestleMania 18. So no need to get too far into this show, but man, you know, a lot happening. Scott Hall and Bradshaw, Lesnar defeating Jeff Hardy, his first pay-per-view match, Eddie Guerrero and Van Damme, Taker and Austin, Hogan, Triple H. So, as I said, Jeff, last week, these Backlash pay-per-views, man.
Sneaky.
Yeah, sneaky good. And
there's no other way to call it. Yep.
Yeah. So this was also the first one with the brand extension. So this was when, you know, we kind of finally turned the page on there being no WCW brand, but we're going to have a Raw and a SmackDown brand. And here we are. 19 years later, can you believe it's been 19 years since there's been two different brands? I can't. I feel like we're probably in a better version of it now because at least we're not doing B shows. When they used to have a B pay-per-view that was SmackDown only, and SmackDown was clearly inferior to Raw, and they're still asking you for $35, who was ordering that?
Yeah.
You were a diehard. That's for sure. So good.
I've got an interesting statistic for you here because you were talking about WCW 19 years ago. I actually saw this just on Reddit the other day, but if you take like that first NXT arrival, that show, not like the TV show ahead of time and kind of them doing that, but at this point, NXT has been around longer than Nitro.
Wow.
And so if you take NXT beginning 2015 to today, Nitro ran from 95 to 2001. So by about a couple months now, NXT is like the show from NXT Arrival, that takeover has actually been around longer than Monday Nitro.
I can't believe that.
I couldn't believe that when I saw that. I actually saved that article for you because I knew that you would be as surprised as I was on that. And for all the listeners too, like you can double check the math and everything on that. But that first NXT takeover arrival, you had like the 1 through 5 seasons, like NXT and stuff like that. But then you start getting into the arrivals and things like that, and they would have been like February 2014. That was when the first one took place.
Wow.
Which is crazy. But yeah, there's your factoid for the day. So there you go.
I love my facts.
I got one. I'm loaded up lately. I've been trying to make sure I get one in every episode. So ready, you know, how this kind of played out, kind of what happened and things like that. That, yeah, like Tom said, well, at this point, yeah, WCW and ECW were purchased by WWF at this point. That you had the alliance, though, as well, too. So you actually had like the WWF wrestlers and the W, you know, going against the still the WCW and ECW wrestlers. So, which is something else to think about, too, which we've had WWE. Here's another one, too, that's going to blow your mind. WWE has been around for 19 years, where the WWF was around for 23. So we're bumping right up to how long it's been WWE versus WWF, which is kind of funny too. So anyways,
I hated when they switched it.
I did too. I still think one of the best shirts ever is the panda holding the steel chair, but that I know the copyright infringement, that's not our, you know, the infringement on that one. They're not a big fan of that, but yeah. So it's sad seeing it blurred out too. I was just recently watching one of the documentaries, or I was watching a video or something. It might've even been on the network where, it was an old clip with the Smoking Skull belt, and part of it was blurred out, which is just sad to see that. Like, it just takes you out of the moment, but
it's just stupid. I actually don't understand why the World Wildlife Fund didn't just say, look, for $20 million, we'll go away or something. Yeah. You know, we'll change our name. But again, I guess they probably, maybe they just didn't care about the money, but I don't know. That one was always bizarre to me.
That'd be a good question for Vince one day. I know they're supposed to be doing that documentary or whatever it is. On Netflix,
I don't think he's going to cover that, though.
Hey, you know what? If I could ask him anything, like, do you regret not going harder against the World Wildlife Foundation? So,
Vince, I feel like he's been a little bit more visible than lately. Like, he's doing like the A&E documentaries. Like, yeah. He's on those. I like hearing from him. I hope the documentary they do, that was Netflix that bought that. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So we probably won't see it for another year.
How's that not going to be awesome?
Well, yeah, especially if it's, you know, kind of same people, and like, I forget who's exactly doing it, but you and I know, like, we love the 30 for 30s, like, and even if it's, you know, close to what they did with the Undertaker Last Ride stuff, like if some of the same people are doing that, like, I'm not even worried. Like, you and I have always said they've got some of the best creative, like, you know, that kind of like video packaging, and like, they're better than just about anyone at that stuff. So it'll definitely be interesting how that plays out. But yeah, so.
I'm a documentary whore, and I mean dude, like, what's better than Last Ride or The Final Dance? Like, that, come on. There's so you do a Vince like 6 or 8 part series? Are you kidding me? You know how good that's going to be? You don't even have to. Hell, it might be better for a wrestling fan, because a lot of this stuff you don't even know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that's part of what, you know, how much we're going to learn throughout it. I think it's going to be super interesting. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because the curtain's always like, you know, he's always got the veil pulled. You just never know what you're getting, type thing. So, anyways, all right. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about some more when the matches happen. But so Invasion, you know, we're Backlash 2001, but Invasion first, which was July 2001. You had Team WWE losing the Team Alliance. You actually had Austin turning on his team to join the Alliance, which was the WCW, ECW kind of lined up. So, you know, it was a close match, but Austin actually hit Angle with a Stone Cold Stunner, which allowed Booker T to pin him. You had Angle beating Austin at SummerSlam, which he actually won that match, but it was because of disqualification. And he ended up going on to win his second WWF championship. It was actually Unforgiven at 2001. So Angle dealing with, you know, a top storyline at this point. Absolutely. So him dropping the title to Austin, though, was just an episode of Raw, which you never see title changes on Raw anymore. I feel like, I'm sure, you know, Twitter will remind me, but it just feels rare. Like, so much is built around the quote pay-per-views anymore. That's kind of how it happens. And so, but again, losing the title, because now you had William Regal joining the Alliance and costing Angle his match. And so, you know, it kind of interesting how it's playing out. You had him ultimately, like, you know, again, kind of going over to the Alliance, but then returning to WWF again. It actually enabled The Rock to beat Austin. It was a winner take all match at Survivor Series. And so kind of played out over that summer with the Alliance and things like that and Team WWF. So, but starting into the new year, 2002, Angle actually entering his first Royal Rumble in 2002. You always think he was in more than that or he was around longer, but that was his first one. In 2002, he was actually one of the final two. He was eventually eliminated by, of course, the winner Triple H that year. He went on to beat Triple H the following No Way Out. It was actually Stephanie McMahon was a special referee at that one. And then he again, as well too at WrestleMania 18, losing his title shot, but then, you know, it just a lot of back and forth, things like that. So, but he was very much in kind of the main title picture and things like that. He had a shot at WrestleMania, lost it, things like that. He actually took on Kane that year, at WrestleMania 18, which was his match. And so, and then really, you know, so you have WrestleMania and then the next night or a couple nights later, he was drafted from Raw to SmackDown, during the draft that year. So and we get into April is when this match takes a backlash. And so he really hadn't been doing much with Edge at all up in this point. Like, you know, his match at WrestleMania with Kane, you're doing stuff with Austin and Triple H, but that was really it. So Edge actually won the 2001 King of the Ring tournament. He was betrayed by, you know, that was when the Invasion storyline was going on, and him and Christian and their storyline, him being betrayed, the two of them feuding over the Intercontinental Championship. He ended up losing that to Christian at Unforgiven. And so, but then winning it again at No Mercy. It was a ladder match. And so him kind of doing that. And then Edge also was Survivor Series. He beat Test. Actually, he unified at the time, the Intercontinental Championship and the United States Championship. And so he just had a lot of different matches too. Like we said, he had his feud with William Regal as well too, for the Intercontinental Championship. Losing the title. First he beat William Regal and then he lost it at the Royal Rumble. It was, you know, rematch. And I forgot about this match. It was a brass knuckle on a pole match at No Way Out.
Yeah, I don't know that at all.
It's not on our list. I might have to add it. Who knows how good or bad that was, but that's one that maybe we will look into it for our adoring fans and see whether or not it's worth covering, but we'll see what happens there. So while Angle wrestled Kane at WrestleMania 18, Edge actually had a match against Booker T. And so he ended up beating Booker T at WrestleMania. But then again, just that week after, him as well drafted to SmackDown, just like Angle. So these guys really, I say there wasn't a whole lot of time for them to really get into anything or have a big story, because they had just been drafted. We're just coming off of WrestleMania. You got these two guys just having a match together. There's a little bit that happened after, which we'll talk about, but the lead up to this, I'll say there was little to nothing. And when we got to this one, so we just got to watch it and see what happens.
All right. Well, we're Backlash 2002. We're at the 53-minute mark. So 53-minute mark of Backlash 2002. Jeff, are you ready?
I got my milk. Let's do this. I'm ready.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Before we get to the payoff, don't forget 20% off plus free shipping with the code PAYOFF at manscaped.com.
So this isn't just the newly released Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. They have a huge variety of great products, ranging from the Weed Whacker nose hair trimmer, Tom and I both picked it up, the Shears manicure set, I made sure to get one, and even the Crop Preserver deodorant, Crop Gel shaving gel, and I have some myself, girlfriend approved, the Crop Cleanser body wash. Now I'm telling you guys, our partners take far more time than we acknowledge to look incredible. And we can all make a little extra time for ourselves for them, keeping that man garden fresh and trim. So again, join over 2 million men worldwide, USA, Canada, wherever you might be, who trust Manscaped with 20% off free shipping with the code PAYOFF at manscaped.com.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
So getting right into it, here we go. Angle locking him up center of the ring. So we are also as well, too, at this point, when you and I are kind of talking about this one and recording, we have just recently learned, and you and I talking about like some of these documentaries and the behind the scenes and stuff like that, we have recently learned about all of the Dark Side of the Ring, the lineup for this year. So when you and I recording, it was
how quick Angle is, like, compared to how he was in his final run. I mean, and he was still, you know, did his best, but dude, look at how, like, fast and athletic he is. He's just a freak of just, I mean, look at him.
And this is, and he almost, it's weird because he looks small. I mean, it's weird. Some of these guys look smaller than they do like nowadays, which you figure, like, you know, hell, it's been almost 20 years and some of these guys are more jacked than they were 20 years ago.
I mean, which Steve Austin looks more jacked than he did when he wrestled.
Dude, still, and like I'm ashamed to admit, I've never had his Broken Skull Ranch beer, and so
Broken Skull IPA.
IPA, thank you. Yeah, and so I'm sure I could find it easy enough.
But Eric Bischoff had one, Wild Bill Coyote or whatever it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he hadn't talked about it in a while, and somebody, I guess, asked him during it. He's like, "Yeah, don't start your own beer. That was a very expensive hobby. I bought someone else's beer."
Austin's got it made, yeah, and you know, he's
it's,
got
no apparently problem. It's everywhere.
Yeah, and I just need to look a little bit harder. I haven't had it. I'm a fan of an IPA too, but I just haven't looked and found it. So
yeah.
So talking about these guys, Edge flying all over the place, Angle selling the hell out of everything. So the Dark Side of the Ring, I'll see what you're most excited about here. Of course, Brian Pillman was the kind of opening episode. We knew that. There's the Collision in Korea, which was the North Korea Antonio Inoki and Ric Flair match, covering that. I know the Ultimate Warrior, which was one we had not heard much about before they officially announced everything. That could go any direction. Who knows what's actually going to happen there. The Jake the Snake and his family, the steroid trials, which I did not expect that one as well. At one that I think we knew the plane ride from hell was going to be on there, which I think even after that, we're still not going to know the true story of what happened there, but it'll be interesting. There's a couple others, but then dealing with it was Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling, FMW, and then Extreme Pro Wrestling, XPW. But then the sleeper that I think, and one that we've talked about her on this show before, is being extremely underrated, is they have one on Luna Vachon.
Okay.
And so should be very interesting to see how this season is. I know a couple episodes have already aired, but when you and I are talking about this one, it should be interesting to see just kind of all these played out. Because I know you and I are big fans of the previous season. So
didn't you say as a boy, the first girl you were ever into was Luna Vachon?
I would say it was actually Miss Elizabeth, but I understand we all have a type, and she was not my type, but Miss Elizabeth was probably Sunny very quickly after that. Still a fan of Sunny. But yeah, Miss Elizabeth, I think, was everyone's first wrestling crush.
Well, as I said that, I started thinking about Sunny.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but yeah.
Is he in jail right now?
Probably. I don't know.
Probably.
So, I know she went last year. I know she went there. Yeah. But how the mighty fall, unfortunately. So again, you've got Angle playing up the heel. You got him beating the crap out of Edge right now. It's been all action in the ring at this point. They've been nonstop. You had Angle actually spitting into the crowd.
It's weird seeing Angle with hair.
Yeah, which we will actually talk about that very quickly in the aftermath for this one. So, but yes, seeing Kurt running around with hair, I'm not going to lie, I forgot what he looked like with it. Like, we're just so not used to it. Edge, too. Edge has not gotten a haircut since, because he still has the long hair and the and rocking that. But yeah,
dude, Angle was talking about, like, as an amateur, like how much, like, basically when he was doing wrestling training, like, that's all he did, like, for 8 to 10 hours a day, like, nonstop. Yeah. I would assume now they train a lot smarter, and there's probably, like, I mean, he probably, if anything, overtrained. I mean, it's just insane.
Well, and I wonder, because I have a friend who's a personal trainer, and I know her and I were talking, and, like, yes, like, if you want to bulk up and, you know, you got to be in the gym that much, you're doing it 6 to 8 hours a day. Like, it's your life. But even now, you figure, like, so much of it too is, like, just rehabbing the body. Like, you see, like, the cryo chambers and, like, you know, all the, like, the, what is it? The cupping and things like that, that they're all doing, like, just the advancement of the technology of how much, like, you know, how much better they can take care of their bodies. Cause yeah, I'm sure what Angle put him through, especially to win a gold medal, I can't imagine. It had to be absolute fucking hell. And I remember in high school, guys walking around with spitter bottles. Yikes. Yeah. Big suplex there. Or you know,
expecting a belly to belly suplex, through Angle over his head on that one, both men down. That was really cool. Have you watched the Dark Side of the Ring Confidentials?
No, I have not. And so I need to. Part of it's because I don't have actual cable. And so I got to watch it when I can.
Can you get access to Vice, or do you have to have Vice through your cable?
I can get access to it. Yeah. Okay. And so I need to watch them, but I've only heard very good things.
Yeah. The Confidentials are cool. I mean, they basically play the episode back, but then, like, they cut to, like, bonus stuff and Conrad interviewing the two guys that created it. So,
Conrad's been very good. That was one of the remarks I read, was Conrad's been very good on it.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been great. They've been great. So they're all worth watching back. I'm mowing through those, almost done.
So you got Edge getting a little bit hot here. Going for pin here.
What was that move? Because that was a little bit different. It was
almost like a modified Falcon Arrow in a little ways, like, just kind of how he had him.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Which that is too. If you've watched Raw recently, I know.
Well, like, I haven't. So let me stop you right there. I have not. So tell me what I'm missing. Oh, what was that?
Yeah, all over. Yeah.
Well, that was a cool move.
New moves and things like that. So Adnan, which we talked about, Nick Khan recently too, bringing in his people, is way out of his depth doing commentary.
Wait, good or bad?
Bad. Does not know how to call moves. I've seen more and more on Reddit and Twitter, like, the kind of, you know, the granted, we're all armchairs.
He's a play-by-play guy. How do you think you can just plug in any random, like, sports guy? Holy shit.
You know, Angle
belly to belly
off the top rope.
Is that it?
No, kick out. Wow. He threw him 3/4 of the ring. Wow.
Wow. This is a hell of a match.
But he doesn't know what the names of moves are.
I don't either, but I'm not doing commentary in front of 3 million people. 3 million people that are very particular and very judgmental about their product.
Yes.
I just don't understand how they've done it before. They tried it with Mike Adamley. They tried putting these people in the booth. I mean, you know, you got to really, really be sharp to be able to do it.
Well, and that's the unfortunate comparison they're making, is with Adamley. So,
you have to know all the characters. You have to know all the history. You have to know all the moves. It's really, and by the way, you Vince McMahon screaming in your ear.
Well, and we shit on Michael Cole when he fucks up. And so, and he's been doing it forever, you know, but fans still, one little mess up. I mean, you got Botchamania dedicated to some of it sometimes, you know? So, Angle trying to get the ankle slam here. Nope. Edge reversing out of it, man. A lot of, right on his neck. Ooh. Jeez. Fans up on their feet, though. This man, a lot happening all of a sudden. Both there, guys just kind of
aren't up there on their feet very often for like a mid-card match. Like, I mean, this is a really, really good match.
Well, and this was match six, or excuse me, match five of nine. And so, yeah, like there's still a lot happening, and you know, it right in the middle of the card, like you said. I still got an hour's worth of show. What do we got here? Over an hour, hour and 45 minutes of show left. So this was just at the end of the top of the first hour. Yikes.
Man, that's suplex, dude.
Whoa. Hello. Jeez. And you've got Edge flipping Angle over the ropes right onto the onto the mats. Angle selling it like crazy. Putting in work. Plain it's just a good way to look at it. Like he is putting in work. Everybody again on their feet. You got Edge climbing up the turnbuckle on this one.
Dude, these guys are going balls to the wall.
Whoa, hello. And there's a crossbody from Edge to Angle on the outside.
That wasn't your typical cross. I mean, that like was hard. Edge isn't a small dude. Neither of these guys are.
No. I think they're about our height, 6 foot, but still, they're not. That doesn't mean they're little.
Did you watch the Miz what do they call it? 24?
The 24s, yes. Yeah, the Miz one was pretty good. I wasn't going to, but then John Cena kept tweeting about it and saying to watch it. And so I made sure to watch it. It did remind me to go back and watch the promo that he had with Cena, which was really good. I watched Yokozuna Icons. I have not watched Beth Phoenix Icons. I know you have, I believe.
It's excellent.
Yeah. And so this again, like a WWE documentary is not to be missed. I watched Big E.
Everything about WWE is awesome except for their product.
Which is funny. Yeah.
Their current product.
The Big E and Keith Lee documentaries were very good too.
Yeah. I haven't seen them. I'll have to go back and watch them.
Big E's was better, I thought. But yeah, I did not realize like the background he had and stuff like that.
Well, here's what I don't understand.
There it is. Yep. No, kick out. Is that an ankle slam? I was looking away real quick. Yeah. Wow. Everyone on their feet now. Kick out from an ankle slam.
Well, I'll just quickly say this, Jeff. What I don't understand, like when you're watching like some of these documentaries, why don't they actually, why is it not more reality based? Why is the product not more reality based? Why don't you just tell me Big E's history? I know nothing about Big E. I know nothing about him. Well, I know nothing about Keith Lee.
And you would be like Big E lifted like more than anyone in the WWE, like at one point. Like Cena had him like up on like his gym, like up on the wall because of like how much it was just like a bench press. Whoa, hello. And there was an ankle lock.
Wow.
Edge kind of rolled it into a small package. Angle getting super frustrated. Can't take him out.
I mean, look, the key to WWE is it needs to be more reality-based. It's that simple. Not scripted promos, not fake characters. Just tell me about these people. Dude, even Bianca, I really don't know anything about her. Like, and again, you may say, oh, well, they talked about on TV. Well, I didn't see it because I don't watch SmackDown every week. So, I don't know why they aren't doing more reality-based stuff.
Oh, Angle missing a chair shot. It bouncing back and hitting him. Edge, 1, 2. Did he get it?
Holy
no. Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and it's
not expecting this match to be this good.
Right. Hell. It's been nonstop since and like they don't anymore. Like Bianca made a name for herself in NXT, but they never carry those storylines over. So it doesn't matter. So all the character development they had with her, there's so little that carries over and telling continuing to tell those stories. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd put Gargano on the main roster and pair him with Shorty G and call him, you know, Shorty whatever. Yeah,
who God only knows.
Right? Like, it's just...
Edge going for a spear and taking a huge knee from Angle. Ankle slam. 1, 2, 3. That's got to be it. Yikes. Yes.
Wow.
Finally. Two ankle slams. But everybody's cheering, even for the heel.
Suck Chance in the background. Wow. What a match. Dude. What a match. All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Lots to talk about. Yep.
Dude, that was sneaky. Really, really good.
Yep. This is why, you know, as your producer here and kind of doing the show, and when I'm picking these matches, like, I this was a good one. You never know with some of these, or they're kind of slow, but that one picked up right away and didn't stop the whole time.
I mean, I don't.
You're welcome.
Expecting it to be that good. I can tell you that.
Yep.
Absolutely exceeded expectations. That was a hell of a match.
Yeah. Really good stuff. So,
yes.
What happened after this one? So the feud actually continued with these two. This is where you said like Angle's hair and things like that. But their next match was actually, and I had forgotten about this one. This was Angle and Edge challenging for a hair versus hair match, which Edge accepted. And so, you had some segments on Raw where, you know, Chris Jericho attacking both guys. You actually kind of the setup, you had Jericho cutting a piece of Edge's hair, just one little piece to kind of, you know, set it up and things like that. But you ended up with Edge defeating Angle and of course Angle's head being shaved, which kind of leading to that. So kind of funny where you noticed it without even seeing my notes of kind of where this led and things like that. So he again lost to Edge. It was a steel cage match on SmackDown, which was really the end of their feud. And that was like kind of late May, very end of May. And so, but getting into that though, it was interesting because you actually had Edge, his tag partner, who at the time, and I'd forgotten about this too, was Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And so, you know, just kind of weird how, you know, that piece of it played out. But you actually had Angle, though, having a submission victory over Hulk Hogan at King of the Ring, June 2002. I don't know how true this is. This is I saw it in a couple different places. You know, I'm sure some historian will correct me, but according to what I found, at June, this King of the Ring, June 2002, Kurt Angle is the first wrestler in WWE history to beat Hulk Hogan by submission. So I can't
remember, but really it's just because guys never tapped out. Remember, that really wasn't a thing till,
yes.
I mean, you know, there's sharpshooter and stuff like that, but there really weren't many submission moves. I think once Ken Shamrock came, that kind of created the tap out, and you know, now obviously it's a big thing. So I don't find that surprising.
Well, they don't do the three arm checks anymore and things like that. Like you used to do with Brett, yeah, the sharpshooter. Yeah.
Because it meant you had to pass out. Like you could never
tap out. So, but then, you know, after, you know, having this match with Hogan, and it was actually, Angle just kind of doing open challenges through most of the summer in 2002. And then June actually
challenges.
Yep. I'm a huge fan of open challenges. Need to see him more. But June, end of June 2002 on SmackDown, one of the open challenges was accepted by a young up-and-comer, one Jonathan Cena, and losing to Kurt Angle after a roll-up, but making his debut back in 2002 against Kurt Angle. So just kind of fun how that played out. And then heading into SummerSlam, Angle actually beating Rey Mysterio. So just, you know, I say good, you know, normal wrestling storylines, just kind of things continuing to happen, nothing wrong with it. So Edge, though, on the flip side of this, you know, kind of interesting. It was really a couple months later. He actually, like I said, he won the tag team championship with Hulk Hogan, the two of them beating Billy and Chuck, actually, to win those belt. And so they ended up losing them.
I mean, I loved it, but it was just so bizarre.
Yeah. And so they ended up losing the belts to the Un-Americans, which is Lance Storm and Christian, at SummerSlam. And then Edge actually losing to, you know, kind of going in separate ways, losing to Eddie Guerrero at Unforgiven, and then having a no DQ match as well too. So he ended up feuding with Eddie Guerrero and things like that. So, I saw some, you know, just an interesting piece here where it said, it said, although Edge has been widely credited for starting the You Suck chant, fans began the chant in 2001 when Angle feuded with The Rock. During an episode of SmackDown, Angle played a video montage of himself beating up The Rock, which led to the crowd singing You Suck to the beat of Angle's theme music. I had forgotten, too. It was one of the segments that Edge did with Angle, actually, was him debuting. If you remember, it was the new T-shirt or jersey for Kurt Angle. And then they pulled the kind of the fabric back, and the jersey said "You suck" on it. And so, you know, so I can understand why that was made, but you know, a little history again for WWE and where that "You suck" chant came from. So, Edge, though, going on, he ended up making a tag team with Rey Mysterio. They ended up losing, actually, so kind of not reigniting the feud, but going back to it, to losing to Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit. It was actually a tournament at No Mercy for the they had created SmackDown tag team belts. That match, actually, Kurt Angle, we have it on our list. We'll have to cover it when a season comes around. This Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, Edge, Rey Mysterio match was actually the match of the year by the Wrestling Observer this year, or that for that year. So we've got it on our list. We'll cover it eventually, but yeah, guys, you know, not directly in each other's universe, but of course, you know, circled back, just kind of wrestling was and how big these guys got. So so kind of where did it go from here? Kind of what these guys did, things like that, the reviews of this match. Kurt was actually in 2002, number 6. Edge was number 7. So these guys were right on par with each other. The year previous in 2001, Kurt was number 1. So these guys riding high in wrestling and stuff like that. So this one, though, they kind of different reading, a couple of different write-ups here. From 411 Mania, as I've been using them a little bit more here, just to kind of get some different perspective. The conventional wisdom was that Angle was good enough to have great matches with just about anyone, but he wasn't a draw. So he got stuck working with Edge, who was seen as a potential draw, in order to make him look good. Edge took full advantage of the opportunity and eventually led to main event status, as we know. Interestingly, Kurt assumes that the veteran role, constantly dominating or cutting Edge off because he's one step ahead. The odd thing is that Edge actually has several years of experience on him. This is one of those matches that made people sit up and take notice of Edge as a real singles star. He's always had the look of a star, but in 2002, he started to grow into that role. Had it not been for injuries, he probably would have been a main eventer the following year, 4 stars. And then the Observer newsletter here, tremendous match. There was some weird commentary spots. Lawler and Ross are always good and so smooth together, and that they kind of know where each other's going, having worked together for so long. Not here. Ross was putting down Edge. He kind of just really shit on the commentary, which whatever. Lots of strong near falls with the crowd going nuts for them. With a creative clean finish, Edge went for a spear and Angle kicked a field goal with him and got a pin with the Angle slam, 4.25 stars. So you got 4.25, 4. Tom, I know you were pleasantly surprised by that match. What are you thinking?
Well, the negative on this is, you know, not a massive build, you know, decent aftermath. I mean, there was other stuff happening. So, you know, storyline standpoint, there's really not a lot there, but you have obviously 2 first ballot Hall of Famers, 2 guys that retired and came back, which is pretty cool. So that, you know, there's a lot of kind of parallels there. So overall, I'm going to give it a 7.5. So great, great wrestling match, but you know, obviously the other stuff wasn't anything spectacular. What about you?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting at a 7. I think that, yeah, both of us kind of pleasantly surprised with what happened here. Got a clean finish, like it said, like, you know, just a lot happening, things like that. I thought that was really good. And the match overall, like in regards to just straight wrestling, like, you know, there was 1 chair spot, a little bit on the outside, but no, like, you know, table spots or anything like that. Like, fantastic. Like, it told a good story. And like it said, like, not something I said a whole lot in the beginning here, like this was kind of Edge up and coming and things like that. And so to see that, and then, you know, we know where he's gone since, both Angle and him too. You know, it absolutely, it worked in the moment. It did exactly what it was supposed to, and getting Edge over, because he looked strong as hell, even in a loss. And so it's just really good wrestling, plain and simple. And we, you know, tell the good story. And then sometimes that's all you need. So.
Agreed.
Good stuff.
Real, real good stuff, and exceeded expectations. I really enjoyed this one. Jeff, you did a fine job.
I didn't do one more week. Didn't lose my job. Good stuff.
Well, good stuff. At Payoff Pod everywhere. At Payoff Tom, at Payoff Jeff. We're easy guys to find. We love the banter. We appreciate you listening. And we will see you next week on another Backlash themed edition, WrestleMania Backlash themed edition of The Payoff.